Well, just for a little while this afternoon, I feel that the Lord will have us look at the Saviour's dealings with Peter. And I've been challenged. It's so easy, isn't it, to criticize Peter. And especially that portion that we read from Matthew's Gospel. And so I don't know about you, so often I've read that and I thought, how on earth could Peter ever do that? But so I've been thinking about it, and this afternoon I want just simply to comment on Peter as in his relationship with the Saviour, and I want us to notice just half a dozen things about Peter. And first of all, I want us to notice the subtlety of Satan. I'll tell you where we're going this afternoon. The subtlety of Satan, the sin of the servant, the sorrow of Simon, the supplication of the Son, the searching of the Saviour, the sincerity of the subject, and the service that's suitable. Dear. Why can't I have a 3-point sermon? Wouldn't it be easier to remember? I can't get that into 3 points. I think each of these little thoughts is so vitally important. And first of all, the subtlety of Satan. Had we gone back a bit further in Matthew 26, we would have read this. Jesus, Peter is boasting about his willingness to serve the Saviour, look after the Saviour. And the Saviour says, Peter, Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. The subtlety of Satan. Peter was absolutely sure that no matter who else fled, who else left the Saviour, who else was unable to stand with him, Peter said, never mind about anybody else, I'm your man, you rely on me. I believe we have an enemy who knows exactly our weak points and who is able somehow to attack us like that. Who was it who said, the best of men are only men at their best? We're all human. And we all have faults and failings, and we all have weak points. Well, I think we do. I certainly do. Is there anyone here who can put their hand up and say, no, I have no weak points? Dangerous thing to say, isn't it? What the scriptures say, let him that thinks he standeth beware lest he fall. And oh, how subtle Satan is. Right from the Garden of Eden onwards, and he knows our weak points. And whether you look at Adam and Eve, I mean, why would they need to reach up for that forbidden tree? Look what they've got, everything the heart could desire. But oh no, they fell. Think of David. King David, what could he possibly want or need? And yet he fell for Bathsheba. The old devil knows our weak points. He knows, certainly knows mine. Oh, how we need to be strong, not in our and of ourselves. Times I've said to myself, David, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That's it. I can't do it on my own. The Satan is a very wily foe, the subtlety of Satan. And of course he got to Peter in the very thing that Peter was boasting about, his confidence in himself. And then we have the sin of the serpent. Yes, it's so painful, isn't it, to read that passage that we read. I can't help wondering, you know, was part of the problem the very fact that Peter was where he shouldn't have been? Why on earth did you say, well, he was trying to keep close to the Saviour, wasn't he, to watch what was happening? Was that a sort of the sort of company he ought to have kept? I ask myself, do I need to be careful about the sort of company I keep? So often, you know, words of old hymns come when I say something. Think of another one. Here my best friends, my kindred dwell. Here Christ my Saviour reigns. But just, isn't it lovely to meet together as we're doing today? Well, I think it is anyway. And I'm just so grateful for your company, the company of the people of God. We need to be careful, the company we keep, places we go to. Don't put ourselves in harm's way. Peter did, and he failed grievously. Do you ever look back at your life, wonder about the ways you failed? Is that the right thing to do? I'm not sure that it is. I love the way the Apostle Paul puts it. Forgetting those things which are behind. Didn't we read as we started off this morning, the wonder of our Heavenly Father. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. But oh, there again, the old enemy will so often try and rake up things in my past. David, what about so-and-so? You remember then how you failed so grievously? Yeah, but praise God, we can talk about the sorrow of Simon. We read in that final verse of our Matthew's reading that Peter, when he heard the cock crowing, he went out and wept bitterly. Oh, the shame, oh, the bitterness, oh, the sorrow, the humiliation that he must have felt. I don't know, I only speculate, but I picture Peter on his knees with tears streaming down his face. What, this hardened fisherman? Yeah, I believe so. With the bitterness of regret and the taste of abject failure. And the wonderful thing is, my Bible tells me, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that wonderful? Forgiven. Peter, can the Lord possibly forgive you for swearing that you never knew him? Well, as we shall see in a moment, I believe the Saviour did. Here again, another one of those old hymns comes to mind. You'll have to forgive me, but I just love them, you know. The vilest sinner out of hell, who lives to feel his need, is welcome at the throne of grace, the Saviour's blood to plead. Isn't that marvellous? What a merciful, gracious God we have. The sorrow of Simon, and I'm sure he pleaded for forgiveness, and I'm sure God heard that plea. And why? Well, we shall see in a moment. But I've one other thought before we come to Acts John 21. So I believe the two are just so much connected. The supplication of the Son, God's dear Son, the Lord Jesus. And I think this is amazing. In Luke 22, verse 32, Jesus says, Peter, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, that your faith fail not. What? Jesus praying for Peter? But yes, that's exactly what he did do. Did Peter's faith fail? That's another point we could discuss. You know, we could do a lot of discussing, couldn't we? I still haven't discussed that point this morning. But you know, there are lots of things that I find challenging in God's word. But I know this much. The Saviour still prays. You know, there's a lovely verse, John, I'm sure you're familiar with, in 1 John and chapter 2. Listen, my little children, these things I write unto you, that you sin not. Listen, but if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. That's it. If we sin against God, we have an advocate, a lawyer, a heavenly lawyer. And I've probably said this before, but I'll say it again. You know, I had an uncle who used to go out preaching, and he didn't want one of these things, I'll tell you. Most of the congregation needed earmuffs. But you know, he used to say in his huge, loud voice, I've got a heavenly lawyer, and do you know what? And he used to bang on the pulpit, he ain't never lost a case yet. And you know, it's marvellous. We have a heavenly lawyer, pleads on our behalf, never lost a case. Isn't that tremendous? Peter, I've prayed for you. And do you know, that's one of the blessings of being a child of God. We still have a heavenly friend who prays for us when we sin, when we fail. And I could also, along those lines, turn you to Romans 8 and remind you that, yes, when we pray, often we don't know what to ask for. But Paul says in Romans 8, the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. We've got friends on high, friends in heaven, who act on our behalf. Do you know, I was tempted to say, and perhaps I shouldn't, but what little experience I've had of solicitors and lawyers in this country, boy oh boy, they cost a fortune, and half the time they aren't worth them. Paper that written on, I mustn't be rude, must I? I tell you what, my heavenly Saviour, what value do I put upon his particular pleading? Oh, the supplication of the Son. But moving on then, and I believe this is a sequel, I really do. Moving on then to verse 15 of John 21. When they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? The searching of the Saviour. And as I've often commented, God so often uses this method of challenging his people. Did the Lord not know whether Simon loved him or not? Of course he knew. So why did he ask him? We could say the same. Adam, where art thou? Did God not know where Adam was? Of course he knew exactly where he was. What doest thou here, Elijah? Did God not know what Elijah was doing out there, fleeing from Jezebel? Of course he knew. Come to the New Testament, and I could quote ever so many examples. Jesus looked at his disciples. Who do men say that I am? Did he not know what people were saying about him? Of course he did. But it's a way of bringing that challenge up front with a need to confront it. And this is exactly what the Saviour is doing here. Peter, in effect, you've denied me. Do you love me? Do you love me? And of course, it wouldn't be right of me to dwell on this without pointing out, and I'm sure many of us know this, that there are two words used here for love. There's the agape word, which is a deep, abiding spiritual love. And there's phileo, which is just a friendly family love. And the Saviour uses that agape word. Peter, do you love me? Have you got that real, sincere, deep spiritual love for me? And Peter couldn't possibly say, yes, I have. He says, Lord, you know I'm fond of you. And the Saviour asks again, in the same way, Peter, do you really, deeply, spiritually love me? Peter says, I'm fond of you. And the Lord, in the third time, uses the fond word. Peter just daren't revert to his brash state that he had before. When Jesus said, you remember, when thou art converted, I believe a change had taken place in Peter. I believe he no longer relied on himself. I believe he recognised his shortcomings and his desperate need of the Saviour and the Saviour's help and support. And I think that's how every one of us needs to live our lives, recognizing that we need daily support, daily help to get us through. Peter, do you love me? Do I love the Lord as I should? What is the first command? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind. That's the deep love. Do I do it? I tell you, I find that hymn that we've sung, just sung, and that last verse, Lord, it is my chief complaint. How often do I have to say, Lord, Lord, I do love you. Oh, for grace to love you more. Searching of the Saviour. The sincerity of the subject. I believe Peter was really sincere when he said, Lord, you know that I love you. You know all things. I believe the Saviour knows that we love him too. We love him because he first loved us. But you know, it's love that needs to be shown. That's why we have a service that is suitable. Peter had work to do. Peter, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. Peter, I've got a job for you, a job whereby you show that you love me by not only doing my will, but showing my love to others. And that's exactly what Peter did. And well, were we to turn over to the Acts of the Apostles, as it's called, we see Peter at work there, chapter 3. And I love the way in the beginning of chapter 4 it's recorded of Peter and John. They've noted that they were unlearned and ignorant men. I've often thought about that, you know. What a way to describe somebody, isn't it? Unlearned and ignorant men, but they took knowledge of them that they'd been with Jesus. That's it. And you know, the more time I believe we spend with him, day by day, you know, it's possible, and I say this carefully and thoughtfully, but it's possible even on the way home, driving in the car, to practice the presence of God. I know my mind must be on my driving, I realise that. But you know, it's also very possible to be conscious of God's presence and talk to him day by day, hour by hour. And then that shows in our lives. Peter had a job to do. The Saviour intended that he would be useful in his service, and he most certainly was. And many hundreds, thousands were saved through Peter's ministry. Would the Lord use me like that? Oh, what a privilege. The service that's suitable. And you know, I believe there's, as we used to sing, there's a work for Jesus ready at your hand. It's the work the Master just for you has planned. Haste to do his bidding, yield him service true. There's a work for Jesus none but you can do. And I believe that's true, and I believe that's scriptural. God has given us all abilities of one sort or another. Are we serving him? And when I came to the end, I thought, well, that's it. And then I thought, hang on a minute, there's a PS. You said, well, hang on, it was SS, wasn't it? Yes, well, give you one more SS. The stress of the sovereign. Is that, you know, I still can't understand Peter. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord. Lord, you know I love you. And right at the end, and Lord, what about him? Can you imagine it? After all that, when the Saviour has, as it were, reminded Peter of his failures and drawn him back in love, Lord, what about him? There's some parts of our character, I suppose, we can't alter, but we need God's grace. Jesus says, never you mind about him. Do you follow me? Is that what we're doing? So easy to look at other people. It's so easy to criticize other people, isn't it? Don't let's be critics. Don't let's be. And you know, I've heard people say, after coming into a place of worship and listening to address, in fact, bless her, I'd heard my mother say on more than one occasion, you know, that's just what so-and-so needed. That may be just what so-and-so needed, but what about you? How important it is. Don't listen for other people. Take it on board. I am listening, Lord, to thee. What hast thou to say to me? That's it. Peter, what's that to you? Do you follow me? Well, may the Lord help us to be followers of his, recognizing that we do fail, but we've got a Heavenly Father who says if we confess, he's faithful and just to forgive and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What a God we have. What a privilege to know Jesus as Savior. And what a privilege it is to serve him and live for him. God, give us the grace so to do for his name's sake. Amen.
Amen.